Hey, today I'm talking about three ideas for making a field trip successful, especially those overnight stays. And that first idea is be choosy about who goes on the trip with you. The second one is design the trip. And the third one is keep track of those kids. And by the way, when you're finished with this one, you really should hear this word in your brain. Supervise. Supervise. You'll see what I'm talking about. Thanks for listening.
You are listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, a podcast for educators, helping you help kids achieve their dreams. And now here's Steve with this week's show.
Hey, a few episodes ago, actually episodes 141 and 142, I discussed the importance of field trips and got into some particular details about them and the types of field trips that you might start planning. Well, you know, as I thought about this, I also thought, you know, one of the things I should do is get into some ideas about field trips, especially those that involve overnight stays. But today's episode is all about these three ideas, just thinking about how to prepare for field trips. All right. So number one out of my three ideas is be choosy when we're talking about chaperones. And number two is design the trip. And number three is keep track of the kids. So here are my three ideas when thinking about these field trips and especially overnight stays. And so part of this has to deal with chaperones and part of it just has to deal with the trip itself. So let's get into that number one idea, be choosy. When we're talking about chaperones, you got to be choosy. Because on some trips, you know, especially if you're in a high school or you're in a school where you're thinking about going to Disney World or Universal Studios or someplace like that, you're going to have a lot of people who want to join that trip. And, you know, you don't just want to take anybody. And I'm not just talking about outside of the school chaperones either. I'm talking about inside the school, that you'll have some teachers and some colleagues who you're just not quite sure they really understand what you need them to do on the field trip. So let's think just a little bit about this because, you know, one of the things that you got to think about. First, let's talk about inside the school, because a lot of times the bigger the field trip, the more kids that are going on it. You know, some field trips you could have as many as a couple hundred going on it. You know, you really want to be choosy about who those adults are, because you've got to make sure that they understand that you need adults on the field trip. You don't need additional issues created by some people who have not understood that it is time for them to, you know, become an adult. So with that being said, let's just delve into this a little bit further. You know, it's being choosy. Well, some school systems require background checks on anybody who's outside the school system. So when you start inviting parents and community members, well, you may just have to do a background check. You know, it is a time of, you know, it's a time of the day. It's a time of the world that we're in. But with staff who are already members, they've already had background checks and stuff such like that, you know, your teachers and other colleagues that work in the school. One of the things you want to do is you want to think about who you want to invite, because you need people to be focused on helping you with the kids. So my number one idea about field trips, especially overnight stays, is be choosy about who gets to go on that trip, who gets to be a chaperone. And for those who are outside of the school setting, like you're going to invite parents, you may just have to do, you know, let them know that they have to submit to some sort of a background check that will let them then be a chaperone on the field trip. So, all right, so if number one idea about field trips, especially overnight stays, is be choosy about who gets to go on the trip, let's talk about design the trip. That's the next idea. And we're going to get a little bit more detail in here about some thoughts about chaperones as well. So let's talk about designing the trip, because sometimes I think we think that, you know, all we have to do is get the buses, get a couple people to go with us, and, you know, set it up because it's just easy. Whoa. No. He wanted to design the trip. Some of the best field trips I ever attended designed by teachers were the ones that they took the time. They knew, experience told them that they created incredible itineraries, and they went over this with their chaperones as well as the kids. So I'm going to walk you through this. You want to design the trip. So first of all, a big part of designing the trip is sweating the small stuff. You know, things like bathroom breaks and who's assigned to whom and what it is we're actually there for and even pinpointing times. This is when we get up. This is when we get there. This is when we eat. This is, when we have these bathroom breaks. This is when we check in. Blah, 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 blah. You get that. So one of the ways you sweat the small stuff is you create groups. So depending on how many kids are going, you want to be able to divide your chaperones between those groups. So you create small groups of the kids so that you don't really want to have the whole group chaperoned by just those few that you have. You want to divide them into small groups. That's the best way of doing this because then it's easy to keep track of those kids. So, for example, what I'm talking about is maybe, depending on the size of your field trip, that you create small groups of kids from 5 to 8 and you have 1 to 2 adults assigned to each of these groups. That is an excellent way of doing this. When you do this, you put it down on paper, you assign them, and by the way, keep track, think about this. When you're creating these small groups, you really want to think about who can you put with whom, which kids can go together, which ones can't, which ones are going to be a little more focused if you put them together, that type of thing, which ones are going to be unfocused if you put them together. I kid you not, when you talk about this in the outside world, people are going, what, you just put them together and you just, no. It's another one of those things. I hear some of you nodding your heads. Yeah, you know what I mean. So far in designing the trip, like I said, you want to sweat the small stuff. And one of the big things that's going to help you deal with the small stuff is you create groups and you assign adults to those groups. And those groups don't need to be huge. They need to be small, 5 to 8 kids. All right, then you want to create a schedule that has time frames, especially check-in times. So depending on where you're going, if you're going to a place like the zoo or Disney World or some massive place like Universal, you want to create check-in times. Now, if we're talking about a trip that's going to be gone for a long time and you're going to multiple parts of a town or to cities or something like this, you really want to be specific about these check-in times. So when we're in a park or something like this, these check-in times are going to be incredible. And if you're the one coordinating all this, you've got to create your home base and you've got to set yourself up. This way, people make sure they are there. And at those check-in times, it's not just about checking in. It's that, all the kids come together and we verify. We put hands on head. We don't want a repeat of the Home Alone movie. Do you remember that where they're all loaded in the van, they're running behind, and the oldest girl is counting, and all she's doing is really tapping heads, and she thinks that Kevin is there, but it's actually the kid from across the street. Yeah, you want to make sure that you see faces with names, that they actually have roll sheets, right, with the names of each kid, and they have to see the faces. So let's talk about one of the things you also want to do is coordinate eating, especially on the trip there and the trip back. Depending on how far it takes to get there, you may have to stop and have some sort of a food and drink break, which is also a bathroom break. You may also have to have some sort of scheduled breakfast, lunch, or dinner type break on that trip. But especially during the days when you're on the trip itself, wherever you're going, you have to make sure that you remind people you've got to stop and make sure they eat and drink. Sometimes field trips might go a long way away where it's hot, and one of the things you got to make sure is that the kids are drinking enough fluids. Not that we've had any experience with that one. Kids need money. So maybe what's going to happen is, in this modern world, what the great thing is that parents can give their kids those cards that they put so much money on. And that's an awesome way of handling it, as well as then have them bring so much cash. Sometimes what you might want to do is offer the possibility that you keep these different envelopes and the parents put some cash in that and you account for that cash. But if you do that, make sure that you keep a good eye on where that stuff is kept, because you don't want that disappearing. But kids are probably going to need money on these field trips, and you're going to want to make sure the parents understand, don't send them with $100 bills And make sure you don't send them just with, you know, $3, because depending on where they're going, they may want to have at least 10 or more. I mean, if we're going to Universal or Orlando or, you know, Disney World or something like that, you're going to want a little more, right? One of the things you're going to want to do in designing the trip is you're going to want to meet with chaperones, all right? And you're going to create a form. And, you know, with in creating these forms, one of the things you're going to want to do is you're going to want to develop ways for the chaperones to get to know kids. And so it's an attendance sheet, and the chaperones use this to start identifying the kids by name and face. And you want them to practice this. You know, one of the things when you meet with the chaperones, you're going to go over how you they have to get to know the kids by sight and practice their names so that they can say their names. All right, kids respond better if they know the adult knows who they are. All right, now this, you know, it's in your best interest to understand that this is so important. All right, now the next part of this sounds like a no-brainer, all right, what I'm about to say, but during the chaperone meeting, you're going to tell them, these adults that are going on this trip, colleagues, peers, as well as parents, as well as community members, whoever's going on this trip that you've approved as a chaperone, they have to understand that this is, that, you know, they are on this trip to supervise. I need to emphasize that. They are here to supervise. They are not on vacation. Now, you would think that this would be just simple understanding, right? That most people would go, I understand. I am on this trip to supervise. I am not here on a vacation. Say it again, 3 times fast. Say it again. Repeat after me. I am a chaperone. I am on this trip to supervise the kids. I am not on my own personal vacation. You would think that was easy, right? Oh my goodness. Yeah. Not so much. Because you end up sometimes having to deal with adults who don't recognize that they are there for supervision. So within this idea that they are not on vacation, you need them to understand that they are always on duty. That they are always on duty. You know, once again, repeat after me. They are always on duty. That means that there is no break time from all the other kids. If you know, on these types of trips, there is no smoking. If you don't allow smoking in your school, you know, school rules apply. There is no smoking on the trip. Therefore, you don't want adults who are going to need a smoke break because they can't smoke on the trip. And I don't care how old they are. I'm old enough. Nope, you're not going to be a chaperone. All right. The same thing with, there's no such thing as the kids are upstairs asleep. Therefore, I go down into the bar and have an adult beverage. No. You know, you'd think this would be just common sense, right? Yeah, right. You know, just kind of crazy. They are always on duty. You know, one of the things that you have to do is you have to explain to chaperones about the bus trips. All right, when you're on the bus, you don't need all your chaperones sitting on one bus or sitting all up at the front. You know, once again, you would think that this would be something easy for adults to understand, but it's not. Because for some reason, they decide that they are their own little clique and they all want to gather together. So on the bus, you almost definitely have to ask for volunteers to or just assign them to different parts of the bus. So you need somebody in the front, you need somebody in the middle, and you need somebody in the back. Depending on how big the bus is, depending on how many kids are on the bus, you want to do it that way. And you have to remind them that this is not a place where they then put on their headphones and they disappear into their own world. They are there to what? Hello? Yes? Remember? Repeat after me. They are there to supervise. Yes, they are not on vacation. This is not their time off. They are there to supervise, which means that they can't fall asleep on the bus either. They are there, by the way. If they do, you know that the kids are going to take pictures of them. And just remind the chaperones that they'll take pictures and they'll be on their Facebook pages, Snapchat, and Instagram all over the place. So keep that in mind. But they are there to, yes, supervise. And they're always on duty. Sitting on the bus is so important. And you'd be surprised how many adults think that they don't have to supervise when they're on the bus. Oh, we're good now. Yep. One of the things, depending on how long your trip's going to be, one of the things that goes along with supervision is that you're probably going to want to have a bag search. Basically, the idea that the kids have to get their bags packed and delivered to you maybe the night before. Sounds silly, but it's not silly, because what's going to happen is you and a couple of your chaperones are going to go through each bag meticulously, simply looking to make sure there is nothing funny coming on this trip, whether it's liquid or something that might be smoked. And if that sounds silly, it's not, because this will save you a lot of heartaches by doing this. The best trips I've ever been on had no issues whatsoever with any of those things, and it's simply because you did a bag check and everybody knew that they were going to have a bag check. So don't be dumb. don't bring stuff that you're not supposed to bring. Then on the day of the trip, they don't just get on the bus. Once again, if they, you know, anything that was going on the bus had to be there the day before. On the day of it, it's going to be subject to search. It's, you know, it's just part of agreeing to go on the bus, which is one of the forms that you create for the parents and for the chaperones. And you make sure that you have a parent signs it as well as a chaperone does. All right. It's so important that parents understand that, you know, we have to make sure this happens. You know, I remember very well a time in my own high school when I was on a band trip and we were off at one of those places where we were playing in a parade and stuff like that. And I'll never forget, middle of the night, there's the band director outside with a kid who's puking his guts out all over the parking lot. Why? Because he had some adult beverages that he wasn't supposed to have, and he just decided he's going to drink as much as he wanted. And the bus driver got a parent on the phone and sent him home. You know, what a fun way to, you know, have a fun trip, you know. But, you know, let's get back to this idea about all the kinds of stuff that you have to deal with. Well, one of the things you have to deal with is you have to deal with medicine, right? You're going to want to put an adult in charge of the medicine. Kids have medicine. They shouldn't carry it on them. They should have to turn it in to one of the adults, and that adult has a checklist, keeps track of who it belongs to, when they are supposed to take it, how big that dosage is, and gets all that type of information. And then make sure that they have a conversation with each of those kids so that they then have those time frames in which the kids check in and get their medicine, all right? So notice that what you should be hearing is that a field trip takes a lot of preparation. It takes a lot of being very organized. If you're not a very organized person, if you're just kind of out there, then you need to make sure that you bring on the trip somebody who is very organized, who can help you look like you know what you're doing and keep track of dotting those I's and crossing those T's. You know, it's doing a field trip can be so much fun, but it can be such a nightmare and such a mess if you don't take care of these details. So let's go forward with some more details. You know, you want to know what it's going to be like and what's expected when they're on the trip. So part of it sometimes is make a pre-trip. Take a visit to this place ahead of time with you and another chaperone, with you and another teacher who's sponsoring this or administrator. Go there ahead of time and see what the facilities are going to be like, see what's going to happen, see how the organization is going to treat you when you get there, that type of thing. That you'd be surprised how many headaches that's going to solve by making a pre-trip and knowing what it's going to be like and what to expect. Clothing. You want to make sure that you make a list of the types of clothing that the kids, adults and kids, by the way, what is appropriate versus inappropriate. And in some cases, depending on what you're doing, like, you know, let's say you're in the Okefenokee Swamp and you're hiking on the trails where you're going to need some stuff to protect you against the different types of bugs and stuff like that, as well as, you know, flip-flops aren't going to be very good for tromping through the woods. Well, it also goes for appropriate and inappropriate, because our kids can wear some pretty inappropriate clothing to, you know, just a place like you're going to a concert or even just going to Disney World. There's appropriate versus inappropriate clothing. So you want to be able to make a list of what you consider to be appropriate representation of your school, as well as that clothing that's good for safety and security when you're on the trips. All right. So now let's talk about transportation. Have you taken care of all the fine points of the transportation? If you're taking a school bus, sometimes you got to make sure that you've followed all the rules and whoever's in charge of it at the district level knows exactly when you're planning on leaving. So you've had those details. Don't leave it up to chance, because sometimes that means that you'll be waiting on that kindergarten bus to get back. And it takes it a lot longer than what you realized, all right? And the same thing goes with afternoon trips. You know, you might not realize how important that bus is that you were trying to use. Now, with commercial transportation, once again, you're paying for the bus, and you want to make sure that you have coordinated with them what time they're to be there exactly. None of this, oh, we'll get there between 8 and 10. You want to have them there so you can get on the road and moving, all right? You want to if you can know ahead of time who your bus drivers are so you can meet them and find out what rules they have as well, all right? Because you don't want to plan to have the kids eat on the bus and then find out that the company has a rule that they can't eat on the bus. See what I mean? Yeah, that's kind of one of those nightmare things that you find out when you start doing it. You know, one of the things that I also wanted to mention is that when you're planning for overnight stays, this is another opportunity to make sure that you create a list of things that are good to bring, like if they want their own pillow and things to wear at night, you know, that clothing that they're going to wear. You know, one of the things also when we're talking about chaperones and the overnight stays, you want to make sure they recognize that, once again, they are there to what? Say it with me. They are there to supervise, which means that you don't go to bed until you're pretty sure the kids are in bed. And you might even keep some people where somebody goes to sleep early and some go to sleep later because you're going to have shifts making sure that the kids are in their rooms, doing checks, walking the hallways, making sure you're not seeing anybody just sneaking out at night. And you know what's funny with this is that some adults have actually gotten so good at this that they, you know, have little tricks they do, like they put tape on the outside of the door so they know if it's been opened and stuff like this. You know, there are things that you have to do. And I've had this discussion with adults before when I've been on a field trip supervising it that was overnight. I've told them, I said, no, guys, we can't go hang out in the sack. You got to go back up there and we've got to hang out outside and we'll have conversations outside just where we can watch the rooms, that type of thing. But, you know, you're not going to get, if you're a good chaperone, you really don't get much sleep on these types of field trips. It's, you know, you got to sleep when you come back because you're there to, say it with me, supervise. Yes. So, you know, if you notice, one of the things that you want to do along this is you want to make sure that you are very, very organized. And let's go back to that thing that I said under this category. Because remember, this is, you know, I've got three ideas about field trips. The first one is be choosy about who goes on the trip, your chaperones. Number two is design the trip. And in design the trip, I said sweat the small stuff. Be very organized. It's a good idea that when the kids have some downtime that you find an opportunity to meet up with the chaperones and say, okay, let's talk about what challenges you're facing, what's going on. Are you having difficulties with some of the kids? Are you know, things working out the way they're supposed to, that type of thing? Are you having any difficulties with the organization that we're here with, that type of thing? It's just, you cannot be too organized for a field trip, because that brings me to the last idea about field trips and supervising them, and that is keeping track of the kids. Yeah, you think that was a no-brainer. Let's go back to that whole idea in the beginning that you break them up into small groups. You know, depending on how big the overall group is, if you can have them 5 to 8, those are good sized groups, you know, 5 to 6, somewhere like that, and have two adults assigned to those groups, that's even better. But at least one adult assigned to those groups. And basically their idea, you know, their whole point is to bring them together from time to time, keeping track, making sure that they have each person who's meeting the time frames, who's showing up, and you know where they are. That sounds so simple. Even when the bus is ready to go or the bus is ready to load or whatever, you know, we have to have everybody. And by doing them in those small groups, that allows you, it makes it easier for you to account for the kids in a quicker fashion, all right, as opposed to going on the bus and calling roll, which is not the greatest because unless you see and you put eyes on each of those kids, you're going to end up with somebody answering for somebody else simply because they thought they heard their name. Yeah, sounds funny, doesn't it? But so, so right. Now, let's, you know, field trips are fun. There are learning opportunities when kids get to be there. And, you know, I love the idea of virtual field trips. It's so cool because you can go places that you couldn't afford and you can go see things that you probably couldn't, are not maybe financially possible as a school field trip. But there's nothing better than a real world field trip where you are going there and you're going to be able to interact right there. Nothing like it. The kids will have so much better of an experience because they're there. They're putting hands on. They're getting into that world. All right. And with that, that means that you've got to take into account these three ideas. You're going to want chaperones on the trip, which means you need to be choosy about them. And you need to give them instructions. And they've got to remember what? They got to remember they're there to supervise. Yes, not on vacation. The second thing, you want to design the trip. You've got to design the trip, and you've got to sweat the small stuff. Be very organized. If you're not that good at it, then bring colleagues who are, who will help annoy you because they are focused on making sure everything is happening the way it should according to time schedule. And then the last thing is keep track of the kids. That's why you break it up into small groups, you attach the adults to them, and you make sure they understand that they're there to supervise, they have times for check-ins and so forth, and it helps you keep track of them. And before you leave any place, you know for sure that you have seen and have everybody. Yeah, take it from this guy who almost got left at SeaWorld of San Diego. Yeah. Anyway, that's for another time. If you do all of this, if you think it through, if you take time, you're going to have wonderful field trips. And a field trip, you know, in this day and time, it's people really see it as that valuable opportunity, and you don't want to waste it. You don't want to waste it. And you don't want to be a nervous wreck where you're just like, oh my gosh, did we leave somebody behind type thing? Or did we get all the medicine? Or did we follow through with transportation? Are the buses going to be there on time? That type of thing. You know, if you sweat the small stuff, it's going to be fine. So once again, three ideas about making field trips be successful, especially for those overnight stays. Number one, when talking about chaperones, be choosy who goes on those trips. Number two, design the trip, sweat the small stuff. And number three, do everything you can to keep track of the kids. Hey, I hope you're starting to think of some wonderful, wonderful ways to create just incredible experiential field trips for your kids. And remember, go back to episodes 141 and 142 of the podcast to get some ideas about those field trips and how to make them happen and why they're important. Hey, thanks for listening. Have fun on that field trip. Take care.
We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes.
Teaching Learning Leading K-12 is a proud member of the Education Podcast Network. Podcasts for educators, podcasts by educators.